great to everyone out this morning. Hope you had a great week. Hope you got a good week in front of you. This morning, if you're following along, we'll be in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 17 through, verse 17. Let's read our text this morning. I know, my God, that you will test the hearts and all and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. This morning we're going to talk a little bit about integrity. Now, an investment counselor went out on her own. She was shrewd and diligent, so business kept coming in for her. Pretty soon she realized she needed an in-house counsel, so she began interviewing young lawyers. As I'm sure you can understand, she started off with one of the applicants. In a business like this, our personal integrity must be beyond question. She leaned forward and continued. Mr. Peterson, are you an honest lawyer? Honest, replied the job prospect. Let me tell you something about honest. Why, I'm so honest that my father lent me $15,000 for my education, and I paid back every penny the minute I tried my very first case. Impressive. And what sort of case was that, she said. Well, he squirmed in his seat and hung his head, and he said, well, my dad sued me for the money. You know, integrity is something, and I seen this on a billboard one time at a church. Integrity is who we are when no one we know is around to see us. You know, we can take a $20 bill, and it looks all nice and crisp. We can take it, and we crumple it up, step on it, we roll on it, you know, and stomp it into the ground. And if we said, who still wants a dollar bill? A lot of people say, I want a $20 bill. Because it's still worth $20. The value remains no matter how it looks on the outside. No matter how scarred, bruised, or beaten, the value is still the same. That is integrity. And becoming a person of integrity means, as John Maxwell said, deciding to integrate my heart's values into my daily actions. Now, when we talk about engineering and integrity, when you talk about a piece of steel, I know that there's some foreign steel that didn't have really good integrity because the composition of it was not either blended well or made well, and so there were voids and places where the steel was not as strong as in other places. The integrity of the levees in New Orleans was not consistent when Katrina came through, and some of them fell. Now, integrity is when we're the same all the way through, no matter what happens, no matter what time it is, no matter where we are still the same, no matter what. As we seek to clothe ourselves with the characteristics of Jesus, we wrap ourselves in Jesus and who He is. You know, we all say, you know, clothes makes the man was an old saying and other things like that. And people get caught up in fashion and what looks good and what doesn't look good. But really and truly, those kind of things kind of gives a person an impression of who you are. If you're a person who wears a suit every day, then someone will figure, you know, that you're a businessman or something like that and you have an important job. And nothing could be further from the truth sometimes. It's all appearances. So what we clothe ourselves with is real important because that's what people see. We need to look hard at this one thing about Jesus. When he defended himself against the religious leaders of that day, the one thing he tripped them up so much on was their integrity, of being consistent in their beliefs and in their actions. In John 10:25, John recorded what Jesus said. He answered, I tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. He says, what I say and what I do testifies as to who I am. What we say and do on a daily basis is going to testify who you are, who I am, to those around us. You know, a person of integrity is validated by their words and their deeds. If we are pure at heart, and we are pure in action, integrity or reveal our nature and our heart to everyone around us. If we're the same in church and out of church, if we're the same in prayer and out in the world, then our integrity is truly integrated, so to speak, in everything that we say and do. Sharon gave me the perfect illustration for this the other day. She was in a store, and she overheard a woman talking to another woman on the phone. And this woman is saying all kind of curse words and talking bad about people and all this kind of stuff. And to her amazement, towards the end of the conversation, the woman tells whoever she's talking to on the phone, "Y'all need to come to church with me." But everything that she did revealed a different heart than the heart of the person that might show up in church. Now, the first thing integrity provides us with is protection, or less fear. In Psalm 25:21, the psalmist wrote, "May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you." You know, Mark Twain said a lot of things we might not agree with, but I think you'll agree with this. Speaking honestly is better, taking a lot of stress out of our lives. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. But if you don't tell the truth, you have to remember what you said. The truth is the truth. The stories we make up are a whole different thing entirely. And we have to remember those things. Otherwise, we'll get tripped up. When I have integrity, or you have integrity, we have protection. We have less fear and less stress because we don't have to look over our shoulder all the time. The truth will set you free. Now, someone said the truth might also hurt you, but the truth will set you free. When you walk with the truth and the light of the world that Jesus provides to us, you have protection from that. Or you'll still get your bumps and bruises, and people may not like to hear the truth. It's the truth that stings sometimes. But we'll walk in that righteousness. We'll have that protection and that assurance. Proverbs 10:9. The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes the crooked path will be found out. You'll eventually find yourself out. It amazes me sometimes you hear these stories of these people that have other families or are cheating on their spouses, doing things bad, and, you know, just out of the blue, 10,000 miles away, someone just happens to see them in those compromising positions. And, you know, it's amazing how that works. Now, we lived for a while in Baton Rouge, and we just happened to be visiting around home in Lafayette. And some friends that we knew from church who had moved to Corpus Christi when the oil industry went down just happened to be in that same exact mall at that same exact time. And we just all happened, and it was a big mall, to walk around the same place at the same time. Now, friends, if we don't think that if we can sin that we'll never be found out, we're sorely mistaken. Because things like that happen all the time. What are the chances I thought about and the odds of that? Even when we moved here to this area from Louisiana, we met someone we went to church with who happened to be there with her daughter who lived in McKinney and happened to go to the Walmart at the exact same time and walk the same path and meet each other. Integrity will ensure you never have to worry about whom you might meet in a far-off place if we're living God's way. Secondly, integrity provides us with guidance for our life. Proverbs 11:3, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." Listen to that. They're destroyed by their duplicity. Integrity is just that. It runs all the way through you. You're the same in season and out of season. You're the same person no matter if you're sitting here in church or if you're out in the world. People are going to know that you're a Christian and that you're different and that you walk a different way. You know, in a society with no moral absolutes, anything goes. When people can choose what is right and wrong without having to live up to any kind of standard, how do people find out which way to go? Eventually, you get caught up in your duplicity. You get caught up in the things that you know are wrong, but that temptation leads you into, and the hatred of those actions and the disappointment after that. It'll come back to bite you in this life. If you live with integrity, your decisions are easier to make because they're guided by God each and every day. Integrity also provides us with hope. In Job 4:6, is not your fear of God your confidence and the integrity of your ways your hope? Our hope is built on these things, on solid things, things that do not move, of things that have integrity. The word of Jesus and the rock that we stand on, that's His church. That's His word that holds us up, that keeps us level. Those are the kind of things that we can stand on. And that's the hope that we have today. Hope for what? Hope that someday we'll be able to stand before God and not be ashamed of how we lived, of what we said, and what we did. Because those things, if we trust Jesus, will be taken care of. So how do we do that? How do we become more integrated or have integrity in God's Word and His belief? Well, 1 Chronicles 29:17 tells us that. He knows that God will test our heart and He'll be pleased with our integrity. You don't make something stronger unless you beat it together. All the legendary swords that the Japanese have that they say could slice off the end of a machine gun barrel during World War II, they did not become hard and tempered and sharp by being softly handled. They were beaten and folded over and over, beaten and folded over and over, layer by layer, until they became as strong as possible. And you and I are going to be tested each and every day for our integrity. In war, during the evenings, the enemy will probe your outer perimeter. They'll probe for weaknesses where they can get in and rout you out and take your life. They're looking for the integrity of that line, of the consistency that's there for protection. You see, God's pleased with integrity and examines each and every one of us, each and every day, to see if we're full of integrity or if we're full of baloney. If our time here in church is so that people can see us here, if our time in prayer is just what we think we need to do, if there's no true love in us for the people of God, for the church that we assemble at, for the things that God does for us each and every day, then it's going to be revealed. We can't fool God. Not on any day, not at any time, not in any second. We'll be judged by the characteristics of integrity that we can demonstrate. It means having the right things in your heart. If you don't have the right things in your heart, you're going to fall like a house of cards because the integrity of God is not in you. Psalm 26:2 says, "Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and our minds." So, how do we get tested? Well, we study what is true is one way. Throughout the Bible, we'll find the words honesty, purity, truth, upright, and complete, and they all represent integrity. How we stand up to the world is how we'll be judged. If we're going to live a life of integrity, then we have to know what it is. Not just the word. Anyone can throw out a few words, a few platitudes, and, you know, people might bite on it, but, you know, in truth, what is the plan? What are you going to do to make things better, in other words? 2 Timothy 2:15, we're all familiar with that. Be diligent and present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. We need to know this word. We need to study this word. That's at the foundation of integrating all God wants us to be in our heart. If we'll take the time, it'll reward us in a life that's steady, that's sure, that's confident, and that has hope in the things to come. Ephesians 4:14. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness, and in deceitful scheming. Living the Christian life without the Bible is being led here and there. You'll follow anything and anyone that seems to be the next best fad instead of what God has commanded us to do and instructed us to do from His holy book. Then we need to take that Bible and we need to apply God's Word to what we do each and every day. Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. If we want to walk with God, if we want to walk eternally with our great and loving Father, then we need to have integrity in our life. It means living God's Word. James 1:22, he wrote, "Do not merely listen to the Word as so to deceive yourselves, do what it says." Now in Acts, we read about the Greeks. They like to argue about this and that. They like to hear about new things all the time. They kind of remind me of, I guess, what you call professional students. You know, those people that never get out and work in the world, but they're constantly going to college and getting different degrees and never doing anything with it. They never let their tires touch the road and get them down that road. We need to not merely listen, but do also, as James said. And we need to have integrity in spite of our circumstances, because we're going to be tested. You ever been through one of those times when it feels like your whole world is caving in on you? It seems like you're not able to handle just another day or another minute of the calamity that's befalling you right now. If one more thing goes wrong, we say, I'm going to lose it. Job was a man who went through an awful lot and remained faithful. Job 2:3, and the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity, though you incite me against him to ruin him without any reason." Now God lists these things to Satan about Job, that he's blameless, that he's upright, that he fears God and shuns evil. Job's character was good. The fact that he kept his character intact in spite of the best efforts of Satan made him a man of integrity. When the world can throw its best, or really its worst, at you, and you can remain with your integrity intact, that you're still praying to God and trusting God and loving God, then you're just like Job. The Word of God lives in you, and you can take confidence in that. He never gave up on God. If you feel like you're ready to give up on God, take time today to pray that God to renew your strength. Find someone that you trust and lean on them and ask them to pray with you and help you through this time. Isaiah 40, verse 31 tells us, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Remain faithful to God, and He'll remain faithful to you. He'll renew your strength in the time when things are bad. And don't be influenced by others. Mark 12:14 tells us, "They came to Him and said, 'Teacher, we know you're a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men, because you pay no attention to who they are. But you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?'" Now, Job had three friends that were not the kind of friends you and I really need to have as Christians. They kept trying to convince Job that he had sinned against God and needed to get right with God. Well, Job knew better. He knew he didn't do anything against God. And if that isn't enough, Job's wife gets into the act and tells Job, in Job 2:9-10, his wife said to him, "You're still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God, not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Now, those people talking to Jesus weren't really concerned about his integrity. They weren't his friends either. And Job's friends and his wife were not his friends. Because the world is going to tell you to give up on the fables that this book they claim have teaches us. But this Bible is the Bible of truth, and it has stood the time and it has stood against many enemies who would burn it, destroy it, ban it, not let it be translated into certain languages and everything like that. It has stood the test of time, and it can build up your integrity today. Never let others dictate to us, but we have the truth. Or to go along with everybody else. If everybody else is doing it, why not? Why not give in? And it's one of those excuses. You're no more wrong than the others, but as a crowd, not anyone's right in it. You see, it's not what other people think about you that counts. You can be thought of as the worst person on this world, but if God, if you're squared away with this book, you're right with God, then that's what only really matters there. Only what God thinks. Job 8:20, Lo, God will not reject a man of integrity, nor will he support his evildoers. If we're a person of integrity and walk with God today, then our enemies cannot stand before us until the end. The fact is that integrity is much more valuable than any amount of money we could ever have. Proverbs 19:1, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. Proverbs 28:6, better is the poor who walk in his integrity than he who is crooked though he be rich. Integrity is a goal that we should strive for today. Integrity in our life, integrity in our speech, integrity in our actions, all of that, if it aligns with God, then we'll have the strength to be tested, and this world is not going to prevail against you and I. But we're going to walk with God until the end of this life, and then we're going to walk with God forever and ever in heaven. Well, with this integrity, nothing changes. No tears up there, no sadness, or anything like that. It'll be happiness forever and ever. I don't know of a better place to be, and I'm going to work every day on my integrity to make sure that that's where I go in the end, and I hope you'll do the same. I don't know what your condition is this morning, or if you have need of the church, won't you stand as we sing the song of invitation?